Sisters and brothers, welcome to worship. It is a good thing. It is a fortuitous thing. It is a beautiful thing that you have decided to come to worship on this day. For today is a day where we give thanks and recognize change. Today, we give thanks for this amazing choir, for tenors, altos, sopranos, and basses, these people who sing each Sunday with smiles on their faces. We give thanks for those with voices both big and small, and for choir members who wear heels, both small and quite tall. We give thanks for the Foray Requiem and the Freedom Trilogy, even if their styles were a bit of a syzygy. We give thanks for the gifts of beauty and grace, for songs that transported us to another place. And today, we give thanks for the gifts of teaching and learning, for small groups and godly play, for truth picked up along the way, for Advent pageants and Lenten studies, and for kids in the nursery making new buddies. For Simone Weil and morning prayers, for seventh heaven and old wing chairs, for procession of palm and flame, and for the love of learning never to tame. So welcome to worship on this of all days, where we give thanks for the blessings that we share, and more importantly, we give thanks for the God whose imprint we bear. A couple things about worship today. The children have worked very hard. They have compiled the call to worship, and they have written prayers, they have written invitations, they have practiced instruments, and they have drawn pictures. In your bulletin insert, you should see some of the pictures they drew last week about what it means to be part of this church and what it means to be in worship. Take a look at them and then take them home. Our choir has picked out some of their favorite pieces from this last year. So friends, enjoy this day of beauty and enjoy the God who is behind it all. I would invite anyone who has an announcement to make to come forward at this time to that microphone that you might make your announcements. Nellie.
Hello, my name is Nellie Rustic. This coming weekend, June 13th, is the last day to catch Catherine, Shane, Lydon, and I in recital. We're doing a recital at the Spencertown Academy at 7 p.m., and it's a great program. We did one yesterday, and it went very well, so we hope to see you there.
Hi, I'm Kathy Clark from the Christian Education Committee, reminding us all that there's a volunteer opportunity assisting our wonderful Jody in the nursery during worship. It's a good thing to do. It's also a lot of fun, and the kids will give you dual instruction. There's a sign-up sheet, opportunities beginning next week. So think about it. Thanks.
Thank you. Friends, I ask you now to rise to your feet and open your bulletin to page 2 as Maddie Alsdorf leads us in the call to worship.
Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples.
I will sing praises to you among the nations.
I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations, I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live.
Oh,
Friends, the truth is Jesus does love you. And the truth is that he came that we might live in peace. Let us share the peace of Christ now. The peace of Christ be with you. Share it with one another.
Good morning. Our reading this morning comes at a time of great change for the people of Israel. They have settled in the Promised Land and are thriving. But Samuel, the great prophet, is growing old, and the people are worried. Here is our lesson for today. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel of Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us, then, a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we also may be like other nations, and that our king may govern over us and go out before us and fight our battles." Here ends our reading.
Will you pray with me? Lord of endings and beginnings, oil the hinges of our heart's doors that they might open gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. Today is one of my favorite Sundays of the entire year. It is a day where we get to embrace the beauty of our choir and the joy of our children. And in the midst of it all, it is a day where we embrace that life exists in an ongoing and ever-changing rhythm. I don't know about you, but it seems like to me that Rally Day back then in September feels like just yesterday. And that today we are already gathering to give thanks to God for the ministries of music and formation that have been lifted and guided by the Spirit for these past 9 months. It has been a good year, amen? This has been a great run, amen? One of the things I most enjoyed about our annual meeting last week was the people's reports, the chance for people to lift up a word or phrase about something that has brought meaning to their life over this past year. People talked about beauty and music and learning and community and solidarity and care. In moments like this where we are celebrating a year well done, there is the temptation, like the disciples expressed up there on the mountaintop when Jesus had just been transfigured before them, to simply enjoy this moment and this place and this feeling, to celebrate that all within our church is going well. Because truth be told, it has been a very good year indeed. But there is another truth. And that is, Jesus did not let those disciples stay up there on the mountain. He let them take in the vision of what they had just seen, and then he led them back down that mountain. For as people of faith, we know this: to stay put is not to fully live. To remain as we are is not to hear God's unfolding call upon our lives. John F. Kennedy put that truth this way: change is the law of life, and those who only look to the past or to the present are certain to miss the future. You see, the people of Israel had had a very good year. In fact, they had had a string of very good years at the time of our reading for today. They were on a fantastic run. Enemies far more powerful than they had stopped attacking them and left them in peace. Villages had been restored and rebuilt. There was peace among the people, and there was justice in relationship. 1 Samuel tells us that the people lived in covenant with God and with each other. There was no privilege or preference, simply people living in equality and in the blessing of abundance. Things were good indeed. And the people of Israel, they built houses and cities, and they sat and remained, and they soaked it all in. And then here in chapter 8, the truth that life exists in an ongoing and ever-changing rhythm began to gnaw at their minds. Now, to their credit, they knew that change was part of life and community. They came to Samuel knowing that they needed direction and life and meaning. They were acting while things were still good, while life was full and rich and meaningful. Yet what is so troubling about this passage that Carrie just read for us is that those faithful people of Israel forgot who they were, and perhaps more importantly, forgot to whom they belonged. Having dwelt for so long in the past and present and anxious about the future, these people came to Samuel looking for change and a new way of being. And instead of looking within, they looked outside. They looked to neighboring nations to figure out best practices and surefire strategies. And they came up with this line: make us like them, they said to Samuel. Give us a king. Change us for the better. Change is always a part of the dance of life. What this passage reminds us, though, is how you change, why you change, and where you look for the source of that change makes all the difference in the world. Today, in our worship, we embrace that life exists in an ongoing and ever-changing rhythm. Today, we celebrate our educational programs. We cherish our children. We give thanks for the gift of music and those who have brought it to life for this past year. We bless the ending of a school year and a choir year and a program year. And yet, even as we do it, we know that it does not end here, that our life as a people of faith goes on in endless song. Last week, in the very breath with which we celebrated those who have served on boards and committees for this past year, we asked the Spirit to bless new leaders lifted up to take their places. For we know that to stay put is not to fully live. To remain as we are is not to hear God's unfolding call on our lives. And then after Sunday, those new leaders came back the very next day on Monday to pray and think and meet together and to lift up the leaders to serve on church council, our elders of the church, so to speak. At the heart of this passage today is a critical reminder about how our leaders are to be and who our leader in this church really is. As a church, we proclaim to have but one leader. And that is not me, that is not this choir, our teachers, or any of our elected lay leaders. Our leader is only Christ, the sole head of our church, the one we follow and the one to whom we give our heart and our lives, the one to whom we belong and through whom we find vision, purpose, and meaning. The thing that displeased Samuel so much in our passage today is the human temptation to always look out there, to model ourselves on the success, the power, or the riches of those who seem to surround us, rather than on the grace, beauty, and abundance of God who lives within us. The God who has blessed us through the ages and blesses us still. There is always the temptation to lead for our own benefit or gratification, rather than for the glory of God or the well-being of the people. Samuel was not against change. Samuel is among the most profound leaders of change this world has ever known. Samuel just wanted to make sure that in this clamoring for change and in this desire for a new vision, that it always relied on and was rooted in one thing, the divine. Even as this program year comes to a close, we are ready to embark on a new year that is yet to unfold before us, and we are in the hands of good people to lead us. Even more, this summer we will begin a journey that will take this entire church up to the mountaintop so that we might get our vision of who God is calling us to be and the direction in which God is calling us to go. We do so while life in this place is rich and meaningful, while things are good, because we know we need direction and life and meaning, and because we know that change is part of life and community. This process of visioning that you are going to hear a lot about is going to take us the entire next year simply to discern, and then many more years to live into. It is a process that in the end will take all of us to do. It is a process in which all of you will be invited to share your prayers, your thoughts, your ideas, experience, dreams, and hopes, for we are one body. But there are two small groups that will help lead us through this process and get us going. Two groups who will scout the trails, so to speak, up the mountainside for us. One of those is our church council, the group we called into leadership this past week. I would invite if anyone who is a member of that council and is present to please come forward and stand right over here, right now. Come on up. Go ahead and stand up on the steps. Yep, that would include you. There are about six or seven others who have been very, very busy this week. The other is the Vision Working Group. This is a group that has begun to pray, share, and listen to one another and for God. They will be shepherding this process of visioning, and they're going to need all of our love, support, prayer, and participation. So I invite, if there is anyone from the Vision Working Group here, to please come on up and stand on this side over here. Finally, I invite a man who has given his life to the service of God and church, the Reverend John McKinstry, to come forward and stand here behind the table. Karen, will you come as well? So, Church Council and Vision Working Group, as we go forth in leadership, I hope that you keep in the back of your mind this text from Samuel. The truth is, we are not kings or queens. We are not even princes or princesses. Our leadership and work together is not about numbers or money or security. It is not about us or our gratification. It is about God and listening for God's still speaking voice and humbly listening for the Spirit that could be speaking through any one of us. It is about our connection to God and to one another. It is about change that brings life and hope and meaning. It is about giving in to the Spirit and letting it take us where God is calling us to go in humility, obedience, gratitude, and hope. Truth is, both God and Samuel let the people have a king. And while if you read the story of those kings, you will know there were more than their fair share of calamities and problems with those kings, we also remember that through those lines of kings would come David and one who would claim his lineage in Jesus. So here's the thing. The kings and leaders of that time were blessed as they began their leadership with the gift of anointing. Anointing is a consecration, not an elevation. It is an act that binds those who have been called to serve. It binds them both to God and to your neighbor. It binds them to the holy and sacred. It marks the person with the grace and support of God and the support of the community. And it marks you with a reminder of humility and service. And so while the congregation will stand and sing our next hymn, John is going to anoint both these groups into the service of God in this gathered body, that we might remember in all our work who we are and to whom we belong. Friends, today in our worship, we embrace that life exists in an ongoing and ever-changing rhythm. Let us give ourselves to that rhythm and let us dance. Let us dance. Let us really dance. Amen. Congregation, will you rise and sing?
Thank you. You may be seated. Today we will pray with a unison prayer, joining our voices with the voice of the Psalms. You will find that prayer on page 4 of your bulletin. Will you pray it out loud with me together? I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down to your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything else. On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. We continue our prayer saying, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. We continue saying together, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you proceed against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. Finally, we pray, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Amen. And so I invite all who are here to gather around this table. All of you are invited to this table because this table does not belong to this or any church. This is the table of Christ. And here all are welcome. So whether you are a member or not, baptized or not sure or not, fully confessed or not, know that you are still welcome here around this table. This table is a great gift to us and the church. And so that we can prepare ourselves to receive this gift in joy and gratitude, I invite you to rise to your feet and to sing hymn number 514, verses 1 and 2. And so we remember the story of this table, that on the night in which Jesus gave his life for us, he gathered his chosen family, his disciples, around him. And as they were sitting at the table, he took the bread. He gave thanks for that bread, he blessed it, and he broke it before them, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, we remember that it was after supper that he took the cup, the fruit of the vine. And Paul tells us he lifted that cup up before them. He gave thanks and blessed it. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that has been poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink of it and do it always in remembrance of me." Friends, before we can partake of this meal, let us bless it. I invite you to extend one or both hands in the ancient sign of Christian blessing and imagine all of your love pouring out on this table and all of your brothers and sisters here. Holy and loving God, bless this food and all who are about to partake of it. Send your spirit into this bread and deep into this cup, that through it we may find you truly here among us. God bless this meal. Amen. A couple things you need to know about this meal. The bread, it is gluten-free. The cup contains no alcohol, that there might not be any barrier between you and this meal. Just in case you're wondering whether this meal is really for you, we remember on that night that sitting around that table was a disciple who was going to betray Jesus, one who was going to deny Jesus not just once, but three times, and all of them. We're going to desert him in his greatest hour of need. He knew it, and he served them. So surely, he will serve us as well. Here's how this is going to work today. Our children are going to have these elements here before you. Our deacons will dismiss you to come forward. We ask that you go backwards down the side aisles, come up the center aisle to receive it, take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, eat immediately before going back to your seat. If you cannot come to this table, alert one of the deacons, and we will be more than happy to bring this table for you. This meal is for the people of God, and that is you. Come, for now is all ready. have just consumed by praying with the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying out loud and together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It is time for us to express our joy. In John's gospel, Jesus tells us that he is the vine and we are the branches. If we believe in him, we will bear much fruit. I invite you to give an offering so this church can prosper and bear much fruit.
Thank you.
God, thank you for this congregation. Take their offerings and use them to benefit your church and the will of Christ. Thank you for your many gifts to us. Help us to grow closer to you and bear much fruit. Amen.
All right, can you take those two and put it on the table? You may be seated. I invite the congregation to be seated. I invite the choir to come down and join me. We have been blessed by this choir throughout this past year with their gifts of music and ministry. At the end of each aisle, you will find a sheet of paper that looks like this. There should be two for every row you might need to share, but sharing's a good thing. Choir, just spread out across the front here. We commissioned this choir to serve as our worship leaders in the fall. We now are releasing them for the summer, that they might find new strength and peace. And we always do both commissioning and releasing as a congregation. And so, choir, spread out and look at these people who have supported you. And I invite you all to join me in the litany as printed on this sheet. Our church family is constantly changing. People come and go. Seasons begin and end. Ministries are lifted up and run their course. It is important and right that we recognize these times of passage, of endings and beginnings. Today we share a time of ending as this particular choir finishes this year of ministry to the worship life of this church. In September, we commissioned you to offer your gifts for the glory of God and the uplifting of this gathered body.
We give you thanks to God for the gifts you've shared with us. We recognize your dedication and commitment. We thank you for music that has stoked our imagination, strengthened our faith, lifted our hearts, and given us a glimpse of God. Receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and bless you as this ministry closes. We ask your forgiveness for our mistakes and shortcomings in fully accepting your leadership and ministry.
To you, the congregation, release this choir from their leadership and ministry of truth and beauty. Do you, the choir, allow this year of ministry and leadership to end? Do you release this congregation from relying on your leadership in the summer months to come, allowing in that time for yourselves to be ministered to and cared for? Then let us pray. God of beauty, God of grace, we give you thanks for the gift of community and commonality. We give you thanks for the chance to gather in worship and to become one body. We praise you for the gift of music and the way it brings us closer to you and one another. Bless the people of this choir. Bless them deeply and richly in the months to come, that they might renew their strength and passion. Surround them with your love and our love. Bless them with your peace and grace. Amen. Now let us do what this choir has taught us to do. Let us stand and sing. You may be seated.
Thank you.
So friends, as you go forth, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you need fear nothing at all. And may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds together as one until we meet again. And let the church say, Amen.